Welcome and thank you for tuning in to the Graceland Church Podcast. Our mission is to follow Jesus and love our neighbor for the good of the city.
Good morning, church. Good morning. For those of you, if you're new today or you don't know me, my name's Heather Houlet. I have the honor and the privilege to serve on staff here at Graceland Church with my amazing husband, Stephen, as the recovery ministers. And I am excited to get to serve this house today and to get to share a little something with you. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We honor you, we praise you, we glorify you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you just rain down with us today and that we feel you in a tangible way today, Lord. We love you so much, Jesus. Amen. I want you to know, before I begin, I believe the Bible is the truth in its entirety, 100%. And I believe that by implementing God's truth in my life on the daily, it has the power to change the atmosphere of anything. So I want to talk to you today about bringing an atmosphere of praise into your life. Eugene Peterson was a scholar, theologian, minister, and author, and this is what he says about praise and worship. He says, "Worship and praise is the strategy by which we interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves and attend to the presence of God." I'm going to say that again. It is the strategy by which we interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves. Who hasn't been preoccupied with themselves before? And attend to the presence of God. You see, prayer isn't just a song that we sing on Sunday morning. Prayer is the language of heaven. And there's an atmosphere here on earth that isn't always in the right balance with God. Our praise shouldn't just be the language of heaven, but of earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. James 1:2 says, "Count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds." The first thing I want to talk about today is that our praise is a weapon to engage battle with the enemy. It's not just the kind of praise that we give him because we got a new car, or the kind of praise that we give him because we got a new house, or everybody likes me, or I got this promotion at work. No, it's the praise we give him when we're walking through a diagnosis, when we're walking through financial insecurity, when we're walking through unfaithfulness, when we're walking through hurt and worry and depression or a relationship breakdown, and we still praise him in it. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'd like you to open them to Acts 16, verse 16. "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future." This is Paul and Silas here. "She earned a great deal for money for the owners for fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days, and finally Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' And at that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone," she couldn't tell fortune without the evil spirit, "they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them so that they had been severely flogged. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and he fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he threw his sword and was about to kill himself before he escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself. We're all here.' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out, and he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." This is such a powerful story. They were just going about their life, and out of nowhere comes this attack from the enemy. Maybe you've been in a season of life where you've just been blindsided. I think we've all been a little bit blindsided by 2020. But maybe you've been in a time in your life where you've just been blindsided, and you look and you're like, "How did I get here? How did I even get here?" And I want you to know today that sometimes our circumstances are simply just a result of the fallen world that we live in. God never promised that we wouldn't have trials. In fact, he said we would have trials, but he said, "Take heart. I've overcome the world. I've overcome it all." And so here in the midnight hour, Paul and Silas, they didn't sit and talk about it. They didn't medicate or try and find something to bring them comfort in the natural, but they appealed to heaven. They praised, and their praise disrupted the atmosphere. They didn't focus on their problem. They praised him. Something many of us feel very defeated in the moment to do. We forget to praise him before our miracle. We forget to praise him before our breakthrough. And I want you to know the second thing today is that it is always the right time to praise him. Always. Because as they began to praise, the foundation began to shake. This is the power that happens here, okay? This isn't just about freedom for you. This is about freedom for your neighbor. This is about freedom for your children. This is about freedom for your spouse or anybody else who might be walking through the same situation. Jehoshaphat. There's a story in 2 Chronicles that I love, and I'm not going to go into detail, but I'm going to give you a little quick synopsis of that story. But Jehoshaphat, he got word that there was a vast army that was coming upon them. And he's like, "We can't take on these guys. There's too many of them. They're too big." And you know what the scripture tells us he did? He petitioned to heaven, and he declared a fast, and then he called in the worshipers. And while they were worshiping, the enemies defeated each other. They killed each other while they were worshiping. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people, Judah and Jerusalem, fell down and worshiped before the Lord. They bowed to worship. In verse 21, it says, they praised him for the splendor of his holiness. And as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever," they stood to praise. They bowed to worship. And they stood to praise. Sometimes I believe that we, in our situations, whatever it is that we are going through, we just need to get a little bit passionate about who God is and declare it and just declare who he is. "Oh, Adonai, you are a good God. You are a good father. You are the one who makes a way where there is no way. You are the King of Kings. You split the sea so we could walk on dry land. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh God, we need you." Where are your eyes fixed today? Are your eyes fixed on your problems? Or are they fixed on him? I love the old hymns that we sing here at Graceland. One of my favorite hymns is "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. When I was a kid, I accepted Christ at the age of 7. I was baptized in a cow trough. I remember it like it was yesterday. I can still feel where I was. I can smell it. It was glorious. I had a fantastic childhood from what I knew. My family was we just had fun. My mom cooked dinner every night, and I mean every night, not sometimes, like a couple times a week. Like, we ate dinner together as a family every night. And in the summer, there would be pies cooling in the window. I kid you not. We sat around a wooden round table with 4 chairs. There was a high chair for my little sister. And in the summertime, the neighbors would come over. We'd play kickball. And man, I was on fire for Jesus. I worshiped him. I read my Bible every day as a little kid, and life was amazing. Until one day, my parents' marriage began to decline. They eventually divorced. I had a sporting injury, and I became addicted to pain pills. Life wasn't so glorious anymore. It had been some time before I had worshiped and praised the Lord. One day I was driving in my car and a song came on the radio, Praise Him in the Storm. And man, I was in a storm. And I just started crying and I went to lift my hand to praise Him because that was the knee-jerk reaction, because that's what I learned, to praise Him no matter what, in all things, for all things. And as I started to lift my hand, I felt like there was almost this force pushing it back down because it wasn't what I was used to. It had been some time. And I raised my hand and I praised Him. And I will tell you this, my circumstances did not change in that moment. My circumstances did not change the next day. But as I began to praise Him, the atmosphere around my problems began to shift. And I don't tell you that today for any other reason but to tell you that I have been in the fire. And friends, God is faithful even in the fire. Jesus is always inviting us to praise Him. We just make the decision not to. Now, I want to encourage you today to stop trying to find the comfortable time or the right time and to just push past that, because any time is the right time to praise Him, no matter what. You've been hit with a diagnosis? Praise Him. You're walking through financial insecurity? Praise Him. You're in the middle of a relationship breakdown? Praise Him. Our praise breaks out the atmosphere of heaven in our lives. We praise Him before our miracles happen. In Philippians 4:4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I'm going to say it again, rejoice, exclamation point. Twice in the same sentence. Rejoice. And if you are confused today about what God did or didn't do for you, don't get so fixated on those facts that they declare the atmosphere over your life. Because that's an atmosphere that God never intended. How we measure change, how we measure our breakthrough, how we measure our miracle is very different from how God measures change in our lives. God is working always, even when we can't see it. He died for you. He's gone to prepare a place for you, if nothing else. For some of us today, maybe it's just a heart issue. I believe our praise is a reflection of our trust. In Psalm 142, David is speaking from a very desperate place. I believe we can all have night seasons in our life, seasons where we are in great need of God. Listen here as David changes the very atmosphere of his life by praising God. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will surround me because of your goodness to me. The righteous shall surround me. This scripture here paints a picture of being surrounded by praising, worshiping people. And it's in that environment of worship that David's soul was brought out of the prison he was in. Because one of the best things we can do when we are hurt, when we are stressed, when we are desperate in all things is to praise Jesus. And the third thing I want to share today is to encourage you to focus on His promises and not our problems. In Joshua 6, the Israelites, they entered Jericho with a problem. God wanted them to handle it. Didn't make sense to them. Joshua 6, 2. It says, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with the king and its fighting men. They said, we've been moving all week, nothing's happening. He said, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands. Not I might. Not I'm thinking about it. They're like, see what? The walls are still up. Nothing's moving. There's a way that we need to see that is not with our natural eyes. If we could just see what God wants us to see, the way he wants to see it, I believe every one of us would walk out of here very different today. You say, the walls are still high. He said, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands. He said, see, I've already conquered death. See, I've already healed your disease. See, I've already fought your battle and won for your freedom. See, I've already paid the price for your brokenness to become whole. If we could just see. When we know something is already done, our whole behavior changes. We walk around with a different expression. And I want to ask you today, what is your Jericho? You've been going around the city. He said, I want you to march around the city for 7 days. And the army will be yours. Some of you have made your Jericho way more special than it needs to be. Some of you have added bricks to your Jericho. He said, Jericho will come down. But God says, you got to circle it. You got to circle it. And I love this example I heard from a pastor. It seems so simplistic, but sometimes we hear things that are just so common and we're like, oh, that was good. They said, when you circle something, every time you turn, you are there. When you're circling, you're always looking at it, and you have to decide if you're going to see Jericho or you're going to see Jesus. What are you going to focus on, your wall or his word? Some of you, your Jericho might be sitting at the dinner table with you. For some of you, your Jericho might be every time you go and open your mailbox. For some of you, your Jericho might be every time you walk into that doctor's office. Will we focus on our Jericho, or will we focus on Jesus? Every day they did the lap. Joshua said, go back and rest. They're like, rest? How can I rest when I have a Jericho? I'm going to Home Depot. I'm buying the biggest ladder that there is. I'm going to climb up there, and I'm going to help Jesus take out those bricks. Rest? How many times have we said to the Lord, I want to do it my way. I know that the word says to do this. And he says, no, this is the way. Walk in it. Today, I have nothing to put into my Jericho except my obedience. In Isaiah 52, it says, awake, awake, Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, Jerusalem, O holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust. Rise up. Sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter Zion, now a captive. Awake, awake, Zion. Isaiah is prophesying here to people that are going to be taken captive in about 150 years. He's warning them, and he's encouraging them and comforting them for when they come back to his words, when they'll be taken away to a strange land, so that they'll find strength in knowing that God has not forsaken them. Isaiah says, you'll never see the promise or the presence of God in your life if you don't open your eyes. Awake, awake. I'm going to ask the band to come as we close. For some of us, it might just be a spiritual manifestation. Keep doing it, and eventually you'll believe it. Where your feet go, your heart will follow. Start thanking him for the things you can't see. Start thanking him for the things you can't feel. Oh, my right hand hurts, but thank you, God, I've got my left. I've got 3 bills to pay this month. I don't know where the money's coming from, but thank you, God, this 4th one is already paid in full. Let everything that has breath praise him. If you're breathing, praise the Lord. It has power. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, just waiting to be released. No matter what you've been through, what you're going through, or what is yet to come, God's already been there. He's walking with you right now, and he's already in the result. Don't give up. He says, I've already defeated it on the cross, and it has no power or authority over you. He's already done it because he loves you. See? Jesus is a king like none other. He came to die and to serve, and there is no other king that would do that but Jesus. When it's hard, when it's painful, be reminded that Jesus suffered too. They put the crown of thorn on his head. There was blood and sweat dripping down his face. They spit on him. They mocked him. They said, oh, you think you're the king of the Jews, huh, Jesus? They laughed at him. What did he do? He hung on that cross and he said, Father, forgive them. Oh, to be like Jesus. My husband is one of the most godliest men you'll ever meet. And we had a discussion one day about altars and altar calls. And he says, you know what's wrong with the global church today is there's too much pride. We've sat in churches of over 5,000. They do an altar call and 2 people respond. Everybody's worried about, wonder what happened to them this week. Wonder what they must be going through. And I want you to know, friends, there is only goodness that happens at the altar. There is nothing wrong, but it is everything right. And I want you to have some time and space today to just make the place where you're at your altar. As we bow to worship or stand to praise, whatever you want. The course of your life could change today in an instant. And maybe for some of you today, you're like, life's grand. Maybe this is about a recalibration of who's really in control. You want the miracle, but the real miracle today in this place is just to relinquish the control of your life and to praise him. Let's sing as we spend some time bowing to worship and standing to praise. We surrender to you today, God. We know that the atmosphere we have here in this building, that we can take it with us in our car, that we can take it with us in our home, and we can bow to worship and we can stand to praise anywhere, anytime. You are with us, Holy Spirit. We just surrender to you today, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I'm going to read this benediction over you before we go today. May the love of the Father, the tenderness of the Son, and the presence of the Spirit gladden your heart and bring peace to your soul this day and all days. May the peace of God reign in this place and the love of God forever hold you tight. May the Spirit of God flow through your life and the joy of God uphold you day and night. Amen. I have one. And